This song that we sang this morning, in this world, we shall have tribulation. And I want to talk a little bit about our relationship to this world, if I may, and what we can expect from this world, and maybe even what the world can expect of us. We need to probably identify what we mean by the world, okay? And I think as we go through some of the things that Jesus spoke about the world, and I just picked out a few consecutive chapters in John to and I know that there's so much more that's said about the world. I mean, Paul talked a lot about the world, and if I don't give enough, you can chip in and add more to it when we come to the end of it. But let me start in John chapter 7. I think I'll try to take it consecutively, even though my notes are all this way and that way. I don't start at the beginning, but anyway, I'll try so that you, as you go through John, you'll just keep moving on through. Okay, John chapter 7, and I'm just going to read a few verses here. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry. And what that means is he wouldn't go to Judea, okay? Because the Jews sought to kill him. Well, in Galilee, they were Jews too. So apparently it's a kind of an interesting word that's used there, Jewry. Anyway, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. I find it interesting how the Bible refers to the Jews. I mean, the writers of these books are surely, at least the, I'll call it the scribe. We'll say the Holy Spirit is the writer. But the scribe of, you know, John was a Jew. And he's talking about the Jews.
Yeah.
As if it's not one of him. You know, I'm somebody else.
He's in a different place.
Yeah, and yet there's places that regard those who are the true believers as the true Jews,
yeah,
the true synagogue,
mm-hmm,
and others as the Gentiles, okay? So you have to understand the spiritual term that's being used. In this case, the spiritual term for Jews is the unbelieving Jews, okay? So the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Now the Feast of Tabernacles is not a bad feast. In fact, it is the only feast of the big three that has not yet been fulfilled in Jesus Christ in fullness. Okay? So I am fully expecting something that has something to do with tabernacles involving the second coming of Jesus Christ, an event. Yes, an event, I'll call it an event that will be celebrated for many, many years, the millennium, if you please, okay? And here, this is the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? Now, I believe if you go through the book of John, it seems that most of the book of John was written concerning pretty much the last year of Jesus' ministry. Now, whereas if you go to the other Gospels, they talk about things that happened, how he chose the disciples and this and that. John doesn't talk about that. He's just focusing on the teaching of Jesus Christ that very last year. So the Feast of Tabernacles, which occurs on our calendar, who can tell me when?
Late September.
Okay, and this year it's going to be in...
It's going to be
September 13th.
Yeah. That'd be Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, mid-September, in other words. Okay.
And it'll be 10 days after that is Atonement.
Day of Atonement, yeah. And then the Feast of...
5 days later begins the actual feast for 7 days.
And the Feast of Trumpets is in that time, too.
So you're actually looking at comes the end of September.
Yeah. So this Feast of Tabernacles time-wise, is probably about 6 months before Passover, okay? And so the Jews are celebrating the tabernacles, and insofar as this coming September, I'm sure you've heard lots and lots of predictions about things that are going to happen. And I don't know, usually when men make predictions, things don't happen. God has his own timetable, and he's just not going to be bound by any man's prophetic anything. Amen? Okay. His brethren, therefore, this is Jesus' brethren, this is his natural brothers, and at some point in the scripture, at least, what, four of them are named, and it says, and his sisters also. So we know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, we know that she bore other children of Joseph, okay? Regardless of whatever Roman Catholic doctrine gives you of her being a perpetual virgin, the Bible clearly contradicts that kind of thing. Now, it says that his brethren... Now, remember that at this time, late in his ministry, his brethren did not believe him. They did not believe he was genuine. They did not believe he was the Messiah. And at one point, I went back to another location that they gave a reference to. Let me see if I can tell you where that would... That would be Matthew, I think Matthew 12. It says his brethren came to rescue him, and they said he's beside himself. In other words, they said... It doesn't say brethren, it says friends. But that isn't what it means.
Matthew
13? I think it's... No, it's not in 13, it's 12. Matthew 12. I think it's Matthew 12. Where it talks about his brethren. Wait a minute now. Maybe it's Mark 3:21. Could be. Anyway, I looked it up. They came to rescue him. You know, the man is crazy. We're going to take you home. We're going to deprogram you or whatever got into you. And no, he wouldn't go with them. All right. So his brethren did not believe him. All right. So his brethren said unto him, and it seems like they're kind of mocking him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. Says, go on over into Judea, let them see. You know, take your disciples with you and see the wonderful, marvelous things you're doing. It's like they're mocking.
Yeah.
Amen. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. In other words, it's like a political campaign. You should be making everybody pay attention to you. And yet it seems that Jesus was trying to downplay this thing. He would heal somebody or restore the blind. He said, now listen, don't go spread this around. In other words, I've got all the attention I need. So maybe from a worldly point of view, see the contrast here. A man of the world would try to make a name for himself. But Jesus, the Son of God, is not trying to make a name for himself. So they're telling him that he should be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was in Jerusalem? I read in verse 4. John 7:4. Okay? Now, show thyself to the world. What did they mean? Did they consider the Jews to be the world? They must have. Because they apparently did not understand the kingdom of God, so therefore they're saying to him, show yourself to the world. Make this a worldly display. All right? For neither did his brethren believe in him. Amen. Now, by the way, we know that James, his brother, eventually did believe in him, and he became one of the key elders of the Church of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
That was his brother.
Jude.
And Jude, yeah, another brother.
So they probably all four brothers.
They probably eventually did turn and believe. But you see, here's the problem. It's natural thinking. They grew up in the house. He was the big brother. And they must have thought, oh, he's just my brother. Who is he? You know, who's he to think that he's somebody special, you know? And I don't know what you think about the siblings in your family. I think I would have a very difficult time thinking of my older brother as being a Messiah. And that's probably because of the way they behaved, but nevertheless, it would just be awkward for me to try to believe that, okay? Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. Isn't this an interesting statement?
Yeah.
Now, he didn't say, I'm not going. He said, my time is not yet come. But he said, your time is all. What does that mean? He's talking of people who have world thinking as compared to people who have kingdom thinking. Mm-hmm. All right? You're always ready. You're always got a big plan. You've always got a big program. You've always got ambitions, you know. So go ahead, fulfill your ambitions. Go on down to the, you know, enjoy the festivities or whatever it is you're going down there for. I'm not going. And basically he's saying, I'm not going for that purpose.
Right.
I'm not just going to go. I'm going, if I go, because the Father says, go down there. There's something I want you to do down there. So in other words, he's holding back and he's saying, I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait on the voice of the Holy Spirit before I go charging down there. And I know the Jews are looking for me. I know there's a whole bunch of them would like to kill me. Amen? He said, the world, now here he's making some interesting statements. When he says, my time is not come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hateth me. Who is he addressing when he says this? His brothers. So this show the world that you're talking about, they'll love you. The people that you're talking about, that you want to display to down in Jerusalem, they'll love you. I consider them the world. They don't believe, therefore they're the world.
World of religion.
World, yeah, world of religion, but nevertheless, they're part of the world system. Okay? He says, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up into this feast, I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Okay, now that's all he said in this particular chapter. Let's move on up to chapter 15. And I'm not suggesting there isn't more, but I'm just picking out a few key places here. Chapter 15, what's that whole chapter about? John chapter 15. It's all about abiding in the vine, isn't it? Okay. You know, years ago we did a complete study of the whole book of John. You know, every chapter has a very interesting key, how do we say it? A key title. This is abiding in the vine chapter, okay? Now, do you expect to find him saying something about the world in this chapter? Yes, I would. Oh, by the way, before we get to this chapter, let's take one of the last verses in chapter 14, okay? He's saying, where do we leave you? Let's go back to 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth.
Right.
All right? So there's a different kind of peace that we have in Jesus Christ. Peace that you cannot find in a psychology seminar where they tell you how to be empowered and all these other wonderful things. No, they're not going to give you the same kind of peace. And you can get sleeping pills that you'll sleep, and you'll sleep well if you take them because they really put you down. Amen. But it's not the same.
Right.
It's not the same kind of peace, okay? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That fellow that has one of those talk shows in the late afternoon, his theme is, let not your heart be troubled. I'm thinking, Brother, do you know that that really came from the Bible? He must know that.
Yeah, he's a Catholic.
We're all Catholics.
Yeah.
Well, the guy in the morning is a Mormon.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
Beth. Yeah.
Beth.
So, anyway, they're religious, and they have a good word,
yeah.
you know, here and there,
yeah.
but they're of the world.
Right.
They are of the world. Let's remember that.
Oh, God.
Amen. Okay. They give you lots of good news,
yeah.
but it's not the kingdom of God.
No.
It's the world.
Yeah.
Amen.
Tell you something about O'Reilly. All right.
Okay.
Now that you got on these people on the radio... he's on TV.
Well, he's a Catholic too.
Yeah.
So the way he justifies, he says that because he's Catholic, he says Mary did not have any other children. And he says the way he rationalizes it, or the way the Catholics do anyway, when they see these brothers and sisters in Bible, he says that back in those days, you know, they were so poor that. Neighborhood, like the people shared together their whole household, so they took other children into their household, so they weren't true children, they just lived there, you know, as a family, and they were called, they ended up being called brothers and sisters, but not by...
In other words, if the Bible disagrees with your doctrine, just write a new Bible, and it'll agree with whatever you want to agree with.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, so. No, and that book that he wrote with not really a ghostwriter, put his name on, Killing Lincoln,
yeah.
completely ignored the Catholic Jesuit part of that killing. Completely skipped it right over.
Yeah.
And Jesus, I started to watch it. I couldn't watch it because it was so... out of context.
Yeah, completely. Anyway, I enjoyed reading the book. It was a good picture of what was going on in America in the 1860s. It showed how the people behave, and my goodness, what a drunken bunch of people they were, wander the streets drinking and going into these cheap hotels and taverns, and I mean everything to celebrate. They were just a bunch of drunken. These city people.
Yeah. While we're on the subject, you're not recording.
Yes, I am. Let me turn it off. We'll go later. Okay. So let me get back to the Word. We're talking about the contrast between the world and the kingdom of God. And of course, the examples we just gave are some examples of world thinking. Okay? And religion is world thinking because it does not comply with the Word of God. It does not follow the Word of God. Amen. It's the city of religion. All right. So let me come down. I'm going to come down. And ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go to the Father. And for my Father is greater than I. No. Okay. I'm not going to comment. There's people that went into some doctrine about the hierarchy of heaven on that verse. But let's move on. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter, listen to this now. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me.
Right. Amen.
The prince of this world. All right, so who is the prince of this world?
Satan.
Satan, of course. Satan is the ruler of this world. So if you want to follow after the world, guess who your prince is going to be? If you want to run for office, guess who your high lord and prince is going to be? And it doesn't matter what party you're going to be in. You've seen what happens to the party that comes in and says, we're going to make changes. They don't make changes. Why? It has to have something to do with the prince of this world that's not going to allow it to happen. So you can vote any way you want, you can run for anything you want, but it's going to be run according to the prince of this world. He's in command, he's in control at this point in time. Amen? But his kingdom is coming to an end. So I just threw that in. But that the world may know, here, verse 31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise and let us go hence. So that the world may know. All right? The world is going to know one day.
Yeah.
Amen? And that's going to be up to us.
Yeah.
That's going to be up to... God has given us the responsibility of informing the world. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I want to go down to verse 18 here. We're talking about that your fruit remain, these things I command. Okay. Here he goes again. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So he told his brothers, who were pushing him toward the world, he said, the world loves you, but they don't love me, they hate me. Yeah. So go ahead, go on down, enjoy your party, enjoy your festa or festivity or whatever you're going to call it, and have a good time. Have any of you ever been to any of these big festas that they have?
No.
This Catholic Church puts on these festas. They've got one here next weekend, apparently, somewhere around. I've never been to them, except one time when I lived the summer in New York City, they had a big festa in the lower part of Manhattan, down in the area of Canal Street. You probably don't know the city.
Still has.
Yeah, every summer they advertise this all over. It's just below Greenwich Village, just below that area. In fact, it's very kind of takes in that whole area. And I didn't know anything about it. And so some of the people where I was working at a hospital that summer, and some of the people said, "Hey, you ought to go to that festa." I said, "What is it?" "Oh," they said, "it's the church puts on this big thing." I went down there. And all it was a carnival. It was a carnival. They had the merry-go-round, and they had this, and they had that, and the clowns, and it was a place you could go and buy hot dogs. And that's all I found down there. I didn't find anything uplifting the name of Christ. I didn't find a thing. And by the way, I wasn't in the greatest spiritual condition, but I still knew poison from good. And I said, there's nothing here, but I'm not even going to bother to come down here and get a hot dog tomorrow night. I'm just going to, I'll go somewhere else and get it. It was just a total carnival atmosphere is all it was.
Yeah.
And I think that they were raising money for whatever that Catholic Church was down there. Okay? Anyway, I didn't mean to get too directed here on this. All right, we're going to move over. The world hate you. You know that hated me before hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. Now, do you know anybody that's of the world that the world loves? Well, you have to have a certain love in order to get elected to some of these offices,
yeah.
Don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you can engender that love by deception. Okay? In other words, put on a front that you're something that you're not. Okay? And you know, the world is very open to deception. In fact, they welcome deception. Deception is it feeds the fairy tale mentality that the world has. Okay?
Well, they love the celebrities.
Sure, they love celebrities, they love actors, they love actresses, and they love politicians. That you know, I can't figure it out. The funny thing about a politician, he can get up there on his platform and he can swear that he's going to do this, he's going to swear that he's going to do that, and you know he doesn't do it?
No.
And it's found out that he absolutely, unequivocally lied. And the next hour, he said the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. And yet, when it comes around the next time, he gets elected again.
Yeah.
So, you see, the condition of the world is that they welcome being deceived.
Yeah.
In other words, they get what they deserve.
Yeah.
Now, that should not be in the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. We who are of the house of God. All right. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So he's telling what it's going to be like in Christianity. Now, let's go down to the 16th chapter. We're moving right along here. 16th chapter, verse 2. And let us start in verse 1 so that we put it all in context here. Now, we're talking about the church, the system of religion. This is what we're talking about here, okay? He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." How many of us have ever been offended? Did you plan to be offended when you got offended? You were hoping that you wouldn't be offended. But he's saying, listen, I'm giving you the word. Believe my word and you will not be offended. Now this offended, the word offended, has a little bit more of a meaning than what we think of as, well, the guy said something naughty to me, you know, and he put me down and I got offended. No, it means to stumble and fall. So to put an offense before somebody in Bible language means you put an occasion before this person to cause them to stumble in their walk and stumble in their heart and fall. Okay, that's an offense. I think the word is scandalazo or something like that. I'm not good at Greek, so anyway. Now he said, don't be offended. They will put you out of the synagogues. Now, is that just Jewish? Is that just Jews that are going to do that to you?
No.
Is synagogue just a Jewish word?
No.
No, it is not. Synagogue is a word, I don't know what its origin, I think Greek, I could be wrong. The word synagogue simply means gathering place, mm-hmm. a place of gathering. I've said this before. We could call this a synagogue. Mm-hmm. Put a sign out front, Adirondack Christian Synagogue. but it would confuse the community. They think we were just Jewish people.
Yeah.
And that's what they would think. No, that is not the meaning. Now, it's taken on the meaning of being almost an exclusively Jewish gathering place. Such as, what do the Muslims call it? Mosque. Yeah, mosque, synagogue, church. So what Jesus is really talking about is the gathering places, and he's talking about churches. He's talking about the false church. He said, they will put you out of their meeting places. They don't want you. They don't want the word that you bring. He's telling his disciples this.
Right.
They do not want the apostolic message.
Right.
They do not want the true prophetic word. They don't want to hear it.
Nope.
They want to hear what they want to hear, and if you come in, they'll put you out. And if you persist, they'll get nasty with you.
Yeah.
Okay? They will put you out. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did a good work for God. I killed that rascal. We organized a posse and we got him. You know? And that's basically what Paul was doing.
Yeah.
He was so deceived at the time. At the time that this was being written, Paul was under deception.
Yeah.
And he believed that he was doing God a favor by organizing persecution, imprisonment, even stoning of death, whatever means, that he was doing God the favor.
Right.
See, now this kind of doing God a favor, see, this is the Catholic Church did this during the Middle Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, those period of time, and this is partly why they were organizing the Crusades. These popes are organizing Crusades. To go, why? They were going to go and take the holy city away from the Muslims. The, who were they? The, I was going to say the Turks. What was the Muslim brand there? I was going to say the Ottomans. Was it the Ottomans? Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. Anyway, rise everybody up, we're going to do God a favor, we've got to kill a bunch of Muslims. We have to take that holy city back. What would that do? What would that have done to Jerusalem had they been able to drive all the Muslims out at that time? What would it have accomplished before the eyes of God?
Right.
had they been successful. They were not terribly successful, by the way. Ended up killing a lot of Europeans. A lot of widows were made because of these things.
It's all the work of Satan.
Yeah.
For bloodshed.
Yeah, Satan got a lot of...
One religion against another.
Satan got a lot of blood out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, so they shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. All these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me.
Amen.
Amen. Now we come down here. Let's pick up a couple verses. I'm just spotting as I'm going down. And we go down to verse 7. Verse 7, chapter 16 of John. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. It is expedient for you that I go away. Why? Well, we'd like you to stay, Lord Jesus. Why is it expedient for us that he went away? No, because he, as long as he was here, he would not have the Comforter here, the Holy Spirit. So, he said, it is expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he is come, he will reprove what?
The world of sin.
In other words, wherever there's sin, the Holy Spirit is going to reprove against it. What's that word reprove mean?
Make it right.
He's going to point it out.
Yeah.
Amen? Reproof. So if I were to reprove you, I would point out your error.
Yeah.
Okay. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So that's what the... of sin. Because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And he's talking about Satan yet. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. In other words, Jesus is saying, I have a lot more I'd like to say, but you just won't be able to handle it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to send the Comforter, and he's going to speak things to you, and he's going to show you what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you believe that?
Amen.
How many of you believe that that is still true today?
Yeah.
That the Holy Spirit is still in the business of showing us what's coming?
Yes.
And what would be the purpose of showing us what's coming?
Be ready.
So that we prepare.
Right.
Yeah, I can think of no other reason than that we prepare.
Right.
Be prepared. Okay, that's John 16. We just got a couple more. John 17. Let's go to John 17. And verse 11. Let's go down to verse 11. And now I am no more in the world. Okay, he's talking about the world again. I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Now he didn't say we were of the world. We are still in the world. All around about us is world.
Amen.
Therefore, we are in the world. Okay, we are not of the world. Okay? I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Now, this is a prayer. He's praying to the Father. He's praying. He's saying these believers, these disciples, these apostles, these other believers are in the world. And I came unto thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. As we are. How many of you believe that's been fulfilled? No, not completely, has it? We are not one.
No.
As he and the Father were one. Okay. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. Amen. I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition. And we know that's Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. What was that song we were singing about joy? Yeah, something about joy, wasn't it?
Take joy in the morning.
Take joy. But there was another one that had the word, the tribulation. In this world ye shall have tribulation. Wasn't the word joy?
Be of cheer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be of good cheer. Okay, yeah. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them.
Right.
Do you want to know why the world hates you? Because you have the word of God. And even if they don't hear you speaking, they still hate you.
Yeah.
Because the devil, the demons in them,
yeah,
sense that there's something in you that they don't like.
Something different.
They don't know what it is. They can't, maybe the guy can't put his finger on it,
right,
but I know I just don't like that. You know, whatever they want to say. Yeah. And the world hates them. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Hey, what are you doing after work? Come on, let's go down to Duffy's Tavern and have a good old time. It's Friday night. Let's everybody go and unwind. No, no, thank you. I don't want to go. Oh, what's the matter with you? Goody two-shoes, you know. And they'll say things like that because you are not of them. You're not going to do the things that they do. You're not going to carouse the way they do. You don't enjoy their filthy jokes the way they do. You're not like them. You're a misfit.
Amen.
Praise God, you're a misfit. All right. Now, verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Now, you see, if Jesus said, I pray that thou would take them out of the world so that they don't have persecution, then we could say, well, the pre-trib rapture thing is okay. But he said, I pray, what did he say? I pray not,
right,
that you'll take them out of the world. I'll take care of them right here in this world. You know, there are, I was telling somebody this the other day. Rita and I went, yes, we went to KFC.
Oh,
geez. Yeah.
What's wrong with that? I do.
No, I don't know. But there's people that if you tell them you went to one of these fast food joints, you're so carnal. You go to those. Anyway,
no,
I'm just telling you. All right, so we went to one of those places. Okay. KFC.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Rita used to work in one of those joints.
I enjoy this one.
Anyway, I had a coupon.
Yeah.
Now, the coupon wasn't supposed to pay for my whole meal.
It did?
No. Almost. So I gave the coupon to the kid. He looked like he was about 17 or 18. And while he was ringing me up, an older man came around behind him, reached his hand in front. He says, here, let me do this. And he goes, pop, 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 on the screen. And my receipt came out, and he says, that'll be 85 cents. And I said, whoa, wait a minute, what happened here? My coupon wasn't that good. And he says, I put you in as an employee meal.
That was nice.
And he said, it's okay. He said, I'm leaving, and I didn't take my employee meal today, so I'm giving it to you.
Oh, wow, that was nice.
And, of course, there was no argument. I had to pay my 85 cents for the meal. I mean, that's a pretty cheap way to eat, isn't it? And it was good food.
Yeah.
By the way, yeah, it was good food. And I got sitting there thinking, and I thought, you know, no matter how much we think that we're going to prepare for this, prepare for that, prepare for something else.
Right.
You know, God has such an abundance of ways.
Yeah.
You can walk into that place, 85 cents in your pocket.
Yeah.
How am I going to get my food? And the guy rings it up and he says, that'll be 85 cents.
Yeah, it's a blessing.
Well, no, I had more money than that with me.
Sure.
But God just has he has a sense of humor, I tell you.
He does.
That he could just take care of you by just trusting Him. And by the way, you don't have to run to every charity in town.
No, I'm going
to get the mercy of God.
Right.
You just don't have to do it. Anyway, okay. So did
the blessedness of God that follows us.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And you know, you find that when you take a job and somebody blesses you, and you know, you can just live in the blessing.
Yeah.
You don't strive for it. Listen, you're not preaching prosperity.
Right.
You're not striving for it.
Right.
You're just minding your own business, keeping low key, and all of a sudden, blessing just unexpectedly falls on you.
Yep.
And I'm saying, it's not just a lifestyle. I'm saying that God is well able to do this in the tribulation that's coming.
Yes, He will.
We don't know how He's going to do it. But these are the stories we're going to hear.
Yeah.
I couldn't write a book. I couldn't possibly think of all the ways God is going to do this.
No, we don't know. Amen.
Okay. Verse 16 of chapter 17. Okay. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He said they're in the world, but He said they are not of the world. Okay? Now, let me just skip down to verse 21. Let's go to verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. That's us. This generation. You and me. Right now, this day, this year.
Amen.
Okay, that's us. He's praying for us.
Yes.
Amen. That they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. And let me read two more verses. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Are we displaying a lot of glory? We should be, I suppose. Amen. He says he's giving it to us that they may be one, even as we are one. Maybe the glory doesn't come till we're one. Amen. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Oh, I thought we were going to have to join a crusade and fight the world and put down all the demons and the Muslims and the whatever. No, he says the world is not going to know by you going to war and organizing a militia or gathering as many rifles as you can gather. Well, there's nothing illegal about owning a rifle. Okay, but what's your purpose? If your purpose is that you think you're going to defend yourself and go to war and all that, you're missing it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because the world isn't going to find out about the kingdom of God because you can shoot some of their soldiers. That's not how they're going to find out. They're going to find out because of love. Okay? I just threw that in there. I thought it was a good verse. Move on to chapter 18. Yeah.
Now, okay, let's go back to this. The glory which you gave me, I have given them. So the Lord's already said He's given us glory at that time. Now, you know, I'm thinking that it's a glory that's seen in the spirit.
Yeah.
Right? That there's a radiance that the spiritual realm can see in us. And
demons know that glory.
Yeah,
they know that.
That's the discernment.
Yeah.
They can discern what we can't in the natural, in the spirit realm. The demons know, like they knew Paul and so forth, and you know, so
they
know how much glory we're carrying. You know,
there is a spiritual light upon us who have been enlightened by Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen. And the world, the eyes of the man of the world, he can't necessarily see that. He's a lot of blindness in them.
Yeah.
They don't really know. They just, that guy's a little queer. He's a little ooky, you know, or whatever. That woman, she's a wing bat, you know, whatever. They call you names.
Yeah.
But demons have to be reluctant.
Yeah.
About taking you on. And you know, when you start sending a few demons to the abyss, you got a reputation. I remember when we started doing this, it was in the 70s. And boy, I tell you, two or three of them will come in and take you on, and the word gets out in the demon community, if we can call it that, don't mess with her. Because, boy, she gets vicious when you start messing with her or her kids or her grandkids. Boy, she's going to start throwing demons, and just tread easy.
Stay away from her.
Yeah, okay. Moving on to chapter 18, go down to verse 36. Oh, this is good. This is good. We got to go a little before that. Pilate. Jesus is in front of Pilate. Then Pilate entered the judgment hall, verse 33 again, and called Jesus and said to him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?"
Right.
How'd you find out? Where did this come to you? Did you get a revelation? I mean, he's testing Pilate.
Yeah.
Testing him. Maybe Pilate will believe, even though he's going to have to crucify me. Maybe I can put his in such a state of conscience that he's going to repent. Hey, Jesus wouldn't mind trying to get Hitler to repent.
Right.
We don't usually think of praying for these despots like that, do we? All right, but listen, you're seeing the heart of God.
Right.
A heart of love that does not come in our natural being.
Right.
We don't think that way. And I have to think after the fact and say, that's not very loving the way I'm thinking about that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you wouldn't think that way, would you?
Mm-hmm.
And I ask the Lord, and I get an answer in the Spirit, and he says, no, I don't think that way about them.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess I'm going to have to correct my thinking here a little bit. I mean, still the things they're doing is filthy, but I'll see the filth, but I'll also have to see the man, that there's a man that you would like to redeem behind all that. Okay? So, art thou King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest, okay, we read that. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What have you done? What hast thou done? It's what have you done. Okay, I put it in English, 21st century. Okay, what have you done? Jesus answered. Listen to his answer.
Yeah.
What have you done?
Right.
Now, if you were asked a question, you would say, well, I did this and I did that. No. God is not obliged to answer the way you think.
Right.
Here is the answer from God.
Right.
What have you done?
Right.
My kingdom is not of this world. That's what I did.
Yes.
I made a kingdom that's not of this world, Pilate. You're in this world. You answer to Rome. I answer to the Father.
Right.
Okay? My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. In other words, I would raise up a military.
Right.
I could probably raise up a pretty good force. Judas would be glad to have led them. Yes, he would.
Yeah.
That was his way of thinking. And we would fight. We would go to war. And what would we solve?
Nothing.
Would I really be bringing in the kingdom of God that way? No, I would not. Because I would be bringing in hatred, murder, this type of thing. I would not be bringing anything, having anything to do with love thy neighbor, or love this one, or love that. No, it would be absolutely contrary. And therefore, I cannot fight, even if you're going to try to kill me. I can't do that. Okay? My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. Notice he didn't say delivered to the world. He said delivered to the Jews.
Right.
Who were of the world.
Right.
To the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Did I read all I was going to read there? Yeah, let me read one more verse. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the what?
World.
Why? Because the world was in an unredeemed condition.
Yeah.
I came into the world that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then Pilate gave this smart answer. Well, what is the truth? You know, who knows? Yeah. All right. Just two more little passages. If we're going to go back to Matthew, just two little passages to add a little frosting to the cake here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. And what is our relationship to this world? Matthew 5, 14. Verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So, what are we supposed to be? A light to the world. Now, we were talking about that light, and maybe not everybody's going to appreciate that light or even notice it just at the first glance. But in the long run, by your conversation, and that means your lifestyle, you will manifest light. Mm-hmm. Amen? Matthew 13, and this will be the last one.
Matthew what?
13. 13. And this is the parable of the seed of the sower. And we'll go to this verse here. He also that receives seed among the thorns, he, listen, he's calling the soil he. He that received the seed among thorns. In other words, he's saying, This seed is scattered upon the souls of people.
Mm-hmm.
If you hear this word, if you have thorns in you,
yep.
in your soul, if you have briars and things that are choking it out, you're going to respond in a certain way to the hearing of the word.
Right.
Okay? He that also that received the seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world,
yeah,
and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful.
Right.
So what are the thorns? He's defined the thorns here. The thorns are what?
Bad things.
The thorns are the cares of this world.
Yeah, the bad things.
Well, no, not necessarily bad things. Some of them are good things. Cares of this world. Do you think that having a concern about your little children is a bad thing?
No.
It's a care of this world, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you see, these things can rise up to the point, you know, your concern for your family. Oh, family. My family above all, you know. This thing, if you put that in the wrong place, it's going to choke out the word of the kingdom of God. Not only that, but the deceitfulness of riches. Now, it seems that we have to earn an income in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Our life in this world is we have to generate money. Okay? But what happens if we get our eye on generating money? It then becomes a deceitful thing, and now it's one of the thorns that the guy that's receiving the word, this is one of the thorns. He's got too much care for the things. Oh, how am I going to get my next food? Where am I going to get my dress? Where am I, you know? He or she is thinking and concerned with all these things, but now he also becomes concerned, I'm going to make $1 million before I retire. Oh, yes, I'm going to go for it. And suddenly that takes over his life, and it consumes his soul. So it's deceitfulness of, and the key here is the things of this world.
Yeah.
It's not, God did not fault them for the cares and concerns of the kingdom of God. He faulted them for the cares and deceitfulness of the things of this world.
Yeah.
Okay, one last verse. And that's in verse 38. And in, let's go to verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." All right, now we're talking about the tares, which is the false wheat. Weeds, if you please. He answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are," and that word children is sons.
Yes.
The good seed is the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one.
Yes.
Amen. Well, I think that kind of, that was verse 38 of chapter 13 in Matthew. God bless you.